This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio. Welcome back to Case Closed, 1 hour of old-time radio crime brought to you every Wednesday by RelicRadio.com. Our first story this week comes from This Is Your FBI. From August 30th, 1946, we'll hear The Return to the Mob. After that, it's The Adventures of Ellery Queen and The Case of the Man in the Street. His story from December 4th, 1947.
The Equitable Life Assurance Society presents This Is Your FBI. This is your FBI, the official broadcast from the files of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, presented as a public service by the Equitable Life Assurance Society of the United States and the Equitable Society's representative in your community. Fathers and mothers of America, attention, please. Upon the training you give your children today depends the future of America. Our system of free enterprise, personal liberty, and democracy cannot exist without educated and enlightened citizens. In about 14 minutes, our sponsor, the Equitable Life Assurance Society of the United States, will have some helpful suggestions for parents. If you wish to equip your children so that they will be able to take advantage of all the opportunities the future offers, don't miss this important message. Tonight's FBI file, The Return of the Mob.
Last year, America celebrated victories over two powerful external foes. Victory is made possible only by the perfect coordination, the perfect teamwork of every unit of every branch of the armed forces and civilian production. Today, America is at war against a mighty internal foe, a powerful army of criminals sweeping the nation with the biggest crime wave in her entire history. And victory in this war will depend likewise on perfect teamwork. The perfect teamwork of all branches of law enforcement, local, state, and federal. Plus the cooperation of you, the American citizen. Teamwork of the kind that smashed a criminal kingdom. In tonight's case, from the files of your FBI. Twenty years ago, the White Horse Tavern in the city of Riverdale was a popular speakeasy and the throne room of one of the most powerful mobs of that era. Today, this tavern is only a second-rate bar and grill, looking as worn and grimy as the middle-aged man who has just entered the front door and crossed to the bar.
What'll you have, mister? I said, what'll you have?
Oh, not a thing, thanks. I just come in to look around.
Well, the 50-cent tour don't start for an hour, so breeze, will you?
Wait a minute, bud. Wait a minute.
Yeah?
I used to come in here years ago. A lot of years ago.
Uh-huh.
I was wondering if any of the old customers were still here.
Look, Mac, I just came on this job a month ago. Take your business down the street.
Wait. You ever hear of Curly Silvers? Sleepy Young?
No.
How about George Hamilton?
Hamilton?
Yeah.
He's sitting right back there.
No kidding.
Hey, let's have a couple of beers, will you?
Okay.
Hey, that's wonderful, really wonderful.
Come on, drink up, baby. We gotta be moving.
Okay.
excuse me.
Yeah?
I was told there was a friend of mine back here.
Well?
George Hamilton, do you know him?
I'm George Hamilton.
Oh, you can't be. You're too young.
Look, Pop, what is this, a touch?
No. I'm looking for a fellow who used to hang out here 20 years ago.
Say, George, maybe he means your old man.
My old man worked for this bum. Stop, will you? 20 years ago, his boss was King Brown.
I'm King Brown.
What?
I said I'm King Brown. This used to be my headquarters.
George, is he leveling?
Here's a picture, miss. Me and George Hamilton 20 years ago.
Let me see that.
Sure, here.
That's Pop, all right.
Yeah, and that's me.
Hmm. Yeah, it is. Well, what do you know? I thought you were sent away for life.
I was paroled. Get out 2 days ago.
You know something, honey?
What?
This character used to be the biggest operator in town. King, what brought you back here?
I'm on my way to my brother's farm in Minnesota.
Did you get the shorts? Need some car fare?
Well, I... Yes.
Got the hungries going, too?
I could stand them, you, yeah.
Sit down.
Hey, I thought we were leaving.
I want to talk to the guy.
Yeah, but we got
to... All right,
down...
sit down now, both of you.
Okay.
Thanks.
King, my old man used to say you were the best organizer he ever saw.
Well, that was a long time ago.
That happens to be the business I'm interested in right now. Maybe I can pick up a few tips. How about a nice big steak? Go on. Keep talking, King. I just want to fill up your glass again.
Thanks.
I guess this stuff ain't as fancy as you used to drink in the old days, huh, King?
Well, honey, at least the label's on the level. Speaking of the old days, you know something?
What?
I used to own this town and everybody in it. All I had to do was snap my fingers and they'd jump through a hoop. They couldn't even lay a water main or pave a street without my say-so.
You mean, unless you got your cut?
That's what I said.
I guess those days are gone forever, huh, King?
Yeah, but only because the guys with any enterprise have either gone up or pushing daisies.
What do you mean?
If I was 20 or 25 years younger, honey, I could get together a mob and organize this town over the weekend.
I'm glad to hear you say that, King.
Huh?
Because I am 20 years younger.
And who'll get you?
I got the enterprise and I got the guts. All I need is the know-how about organizing the mob and the town. That's where you could help, King.
Huh?
Look, why don't you forget about your brother's farm? What do you want to do? Finish out your ticket milking cows or stacking wheat?
Oh, no, but I...
I see. Maybe those 20 cycles in the can have softened you up too much.
Wait a minute.
Maybe you wouldn't know how to get started anymore.
Give me another drink.
Sure, here.
Wouldn't know how to get started, huh?
Would you?
Look, first thing I'd do is get a mob together and sell protection to all the stores and shops in town.
How?
It's a very simple recipe, kid. You just give them the acid treatment.
What's that?
If the guy says he doesn't want to buy protection, you toss a little acid at him. And you never have to do it more than once, because by the time the acid has burned through his clothes and his skin, he's yelling to do business.
King?
Huh?
Lift your glass. You too, baby.
Huh?
This town is going to be incorporated again.
Things began to move fast behind the scenes in Riverdale, but it was barely a month later that Agent in Charge Collins of the local office of the FBI received a caller on an urgent mission. The caller was Riverdale's chief of police, Claude Monroe. And his mission?
It's not news to either of us, Mr. Collins, that the old gang system of organized crime is coming to life again in this country.
That's right.
But it gave me a pretty stiff jolt last week to find out that it's happening right under my nose in Riverdale.
Really? What'd you uncover?
Well, I haven't got positive proof, but I'm pretty familiar with all the signs of a gang at work.
Yes.
You see, I was a rookie cop in Riverdale back in the 20s when the mobs were first getting started in this country.
Then you must have had a hand in cleaning up King Brown's old mob here.
Yes. That's why I can tell what's happening now. Not with the same mob, of course.
They were wiped out when King Brown went up, weren't they?
That's right. This is a new gang, but it's getting started along the same old pattern.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know who's running it or who the hirelings are. But this much we do know.
Yes?
Nearly every store and shop in Riverdale is paying protection.
When did this start?
Couldn't have been more than a week or so ago. We've been trying to turn the light on it ever since. But, of course, as you might know...
Nobody will talk.
Exactly.
The same old intimidation curse.
It's hard to blame the store and shop owners much.
I know. Not when their property, their work, and even their own lives are at stake.
But blast it, Collins. The longer they keep silent, the longer they'll be slaves.
I know.
Something's got to be done. Done fast, or things will be as bad as they were back in the 20s.
Yes.
No telling what price the people of Riverdale will have to pay before we can break it up.
What's your plan of action?
Well, that's why I'm here. I need the FBI's help. The job is already too big for my small force.
But, Chief, I can't...
I know the FBI can't step into a local situation unless some federal law is being violated. But all I'm asking now is, couldn't you at least give us a hand in finding out who's behind this thing?
Mr. Monroe, we'll start to look around right now.
Okay, even dough, anybody, I'll make another strike.
That's for suckers, the way you're bowling, George.
Oh, watch this.
Oh, pretty lucky.
Nice going, honey.
Huh? Oh, hey, where have you been, baby? I've been waiting to show you the new office.
Well, let's see it.
Okay, amateurs, the alley's yours. Come on, sugar.
Look, George, why did you have to pick a bowling alley?
Because it gives us a legal front. I'm playing it smart, sweetheart. Here we are. Now be careful when you step on the rug. You'll sink up to your ankles.
George, this is beautiful.
Like it?
Boy, I love it. And that desk. I never saw such a production.
How do I look behind it, sweetheart?
All you need is the secretary on your knee.
Wow, what are we waiting on?
Is this the right position, Mr. Hamilton?
Well, let's try it and see.
Mr. Hamilton.
Proud of me now, baby?
I don't know. How much money are we making?
It's coming in by the crateful.
I'm very proud of you.
Hello, George.
King, from now on, you might try knocking first.
Sorry. Well, how are the payments coming in?
Why?
Just wondering how we're doing.
We're doing all right.
Any new members for the Southside Protective Association?
The boys are out doing a little selling now.
How about that drugstore down on Front Street?
That's out.
What do you mean, sir?
It's a chain store. The manager can't spend any dough without an okay from the home office.
And you're going to leave it like that?
Well, what can we do about it?
Look, kid.
I told you to stop calling me kid.
Whatever I call you, you better get out of business right now if you're going to take alibis instead of dough.
Listen, King.
Are you going to run this outfit like a bush leaguer, or are you going to run it like I told you? Because if you're not, you better toss in the towel right now and get yourself a job jerking soda.
Now, just a minute.
I got to go up the street. Give me 20.
Okay. Here.
Thanks. Oh, and by the way, when I come back, I'm going to write a letter to that drugstore's home office and show you how to get that dough coming in.
I thought this was your desk, George.
Oh, don't worry, sweetheart. I need his brains now. When I finish picking him clean, I'll buy him that ticket to his brother's farm.
Collins speaking.
Hello, Collins. This is Chief of Police Monroe.
Hello, Chief. Any news?
Yeah. Those investigative tips you gave us yesterday have already paid off.
Oh?
The boss of the mob is George Hamilton, Jr., the son of King Brown's former lieutenant.
No wonder the pattern of operation was familiar.
Everything's the same, even down to throwing acid.
Hmm.
And here's where the FBI can come into the case.
What do you mean?
Well, we found out Hamilton sent a threatening letter to the head office in St. Louis of a chain drugstore here.
Uh-oh.
But we can't get that letter.
Why not?
Well, it's a small, one-man organization. Only four stores. And the owner, just like the other store owners here, is afraid to talk or cooperate.
But you've got proof that there is such a letter.
Definitely.
And that's enough for us, Chief. We're moving in.
Hello?
Where's George?
He's back in his office.
Thanks.
Ellen's in there with him.
Uh-huh.
You forgot to knock again, King.
Ellen, I'd like to talk to George alone.
Okay.
You don't have to go, baby. What's on your mind, King?
I'd like to have a sort of conference.
About what?
Well, I had just been checking up. Since that drugstore kicked in, Front Street is 100% organized.
So?
So, I thought it was time we were talking about my cut.
George, I told you...
Keep out of this, baby. King, just out of curiosity, how much cut do you want?
50%?
Oh.
Wow.
What's so funny?
The difference between what you're asking and what you're going to get.
And what's that?
I bought it for you this morning.
Huh?
It's a railroad ticket to your brother's farm in Minnesota. And $100 besides. I'm through picking your brains, King. Here. Now get going.
I'll give you a chance to say you're just kidding, son.
Does this gun look like I'm kidding?
No, George.
Shut up.
Look, you better put that down while you can get off with 50%.
What do you mean?
If I have to take that gun away from you, I'll take everything.
Stop, will you?
I mean it, kid. You ain't got guts enough to use it, so put it away.
Ah.
Okay. You ask for it.
George. George, stop him.
He ain't got nerve enough, have you, kid?
Keep away from me.
Well, why don't you shoot?
No. No.
Okay.
Let go. Let go.
George.
Kids should carry cap pistols.
We will return to the FBI file in just a moment. Now, three questions and answers on education.
First question. Of our 32 presidents of the United States, how many attended a college or a university? 10? 15?
The right answer is even higher. 25 of our 32 presidents have had college or university training. Yes, education does help equip men and women for leadership. It helps to build up the character, judgment, and integrity which identify the well-rounded American citizen. Think that over, mothers and dads, and decide now to investigate an equitable educational fund, a life insurance plan that has solved the problem of education costs for thousands of parents who are members of the Equitable Life Assurance Society.
Second question, what is an equitable educational fund?
It is a plan offered to far-sighted parents by the Equitable Life Assurance Society, and it includes these important features. One, the equitable plan makes sure that money for education will be ready when your child is ready. Two, if you die, the educational fund becomes fully established. If you are totally and permanently disabled, it continues to build up without any further payment. Three, educational costs are spread out over many years instead of being concentrated in a few.
Last question. How much will it cost to send your son or daughter to college?
That question is answered in a memorandum recently prepared for Equitable Society representatives. It tells the cost of tuition, board, and lodging in 192 leading American colleges. In addition, it summarizes the long-range opportunities open to educated men and women in 29 industries and professions, such as architecture, dentistry, engineering, chemistry, life insurance, social service. The memorandum is crammed with information that every parent should have. Your nearest Equitable Society representative has a copy and will be glad to show it to any sincerely interested parent. Call him tomorrow. You'll find him in the phone book under Equitable Society.
That's EQUITABLE.
The Equitable Life Assurance Society of the United States. And now, back to the FBI file. The Return of the Mob.
Long years behind prison bars may wither the body and humble the pride of the gangster type of criminals, But seldom do they erase the inborn instinct for crime, the contempt for law and for the rights and property and lives of others. Freed from prison, as was King Brown after 20 years, they need only an opportunity and a taste of their former life to send their criminal blood pounding through their veins again, even though they know the inevitable end. On the floor of the bowling alley office in Riverdale lay the body of George Hamilton, his career as a mob leader cut short by the bullet fired by King Brown. A few miles away in the office of the FBI, agent in charge Collins was making his first move in his drive against the gang.
Send for me, Mr. Collins?
Yes, Terrell. I just spoke to that druggist in St. Louis, the one who received the threatening letter.
Oh?
As you know, he didn't want to cooperate with Police Chief Monroe.
Yes.
But after reflecting on the matter, he decided it was his duty to help the FBI. He's going to fly here this afternoon on business. He'll bring the letter with him.
I see.
I want you to arrange to meet him at the airport.
Look like anybody heard the shot. That is, nobody but you, sweetheart.
What happens now?
I don't know yet.
We're just going to sit around here with that body?
Maybe.
King.
Yeah?
You said something to George when you were having that argument with him.
What?
You said if you were going to take his gun away from him, you were going to take everything. Remember?
Yeah.
What did that mean?
It didn't include you, sweetheart.
Oh, I was just asking.
Look, Ellen, the only reason you're not down there on the floor, too, is because I never killed a woman. It's bad luck.
So what does happen to me?
I don't know yet. Got more important things to think about.
Like what?
Like getting rid of the stiff.
What are you going to do with him?
I can't stuff him and hang him on the wall.
Very funny.
So I guess we wait around here until the night, and then you and I will put him in a car and run it off the pier into the river.
Just like old times for you, I guess.
Not exactly, no. Then I use cement.
I met the druggist at the airport all right, Mr. Collins. Here's the letter.
It's good.
It's signed by George Hamilton, all right.
Yes, but the body of the letter's in a different handwriting, Terrell.
Oh?
Look at this sample of Hamilton's handwriting Chief Monroe finished us.
Yes. They're different, all right, aren't they?
Now we'll compare the handwriting in the body of the letter with this other sample of handwriting I dug out of our files.
Whose is it?
A gentleman by the name of King Brown.
King Brown?
Mm-hmm. Monroe said the new gang's operation followed the old King Brown pattern, remember?
Yes.
I found out a while ago that Brown was released from prison about a month ago.
Uh-oh.
How would you say these two handwritings compare?
It looks like King Brown has returned to Riverdale.
Yes. Let's go. When did they move into the bowling alley, Chief?
About a week ago, Mr. Collins.
That must be the office there. Let's have a look.
Right.
Try the door.
It's open.
Probably a light switch just inside the
I door. Found it here.
Well, I'd say we're a little late.
Yeah, looks like they've cleaned out. Look at that open safe and those desk drawers. What do you make of this, Collins?
Well, offhand, I'd...
Mr. Collins, look.
What?
That's blood on the carpet over there.
Well,
Brown must have done a little liquidating.
And whoever was here last hasn't been gone long, either.
What have you found, Terrell?
Cigarette, still smoking in this ashtray. A woman's cigarette, lipstick on it.
That must have been Hamilton's girl.
Yes.
But who was liquidated?
My guess is that it was Hamilton. And inasmuch as they've just cleaned out, Brown will have to get rid of the body before he does anything else.
Then I've got a hunch where we can catch Brown if we hurry. Come on.
King, where are you going to dump the body?
Well, just for the sake of old times, I'd like to use a pier a little ways ahead.
What about the car?
George stays right in it. They both go in the river.
Oh. King.
Yeah?
Have you made up your mind about me yet?
Yeah.
Well?
Here's a pier.
What's the story?
The story is, baby, you know too much.
What do you mean?
You know I killed Hamilton, and you know who's the boss of the mob.
Look, King, you don't think I'd ever double-cross you, do you?
I'm going to guarantee that right now.
King, what are you going to... King!
So long, sweetheart. You're staying in there for the ride.
No, no. Let me out of here. King! Let me out! Let me out!
Here we are, Brown.
Who are you?
Special agent for the FBI.
Okay, G-Man, but if you think you're going to take me...
Now get up.
The girl seems to have fainted, Mr. Collins.
That's not what's wrong with Hamilton, though, on the floor of the car.
How'd you know I'd be here?
Chief Monroe remembered this pier. According to him, this is where you used to dump all your victims. Come on, Chief. We're going to get the rest of his boys.
King Brown is now back in the state penitentiary serving a life sentence. And Riverdale has once more been freed from mob rule. Tonight's case from the files of your FBI was a demonstration of the kind of teamwork it's going to take to prevent the return of gangsterism to America. The teamwork of local and federal law enforcement officers, plus the cooperation of you, the American citizen. Your local law enforcement officers are doing their part faithfully. And 24 hours around the clock, your FBI is doing its part. But are you doing yours? It is your fight, too. And the security of your home and your rights and privileges as an American depend on its outcome.
In just a moment, we will tell you about next week's exciting story from the files of your FBI. And now again, let me remind you to check with your Equitable Society representative about the safest and wisest investment a parent can make for his children's future, an Equitable Educational Fund. Without obligation, he will also show you the Equitable Society's memorandum on the costs of higher education and some of the opportunities it opens. You'll find your Equitable Society representative in the phone book under the Equitable Life Assurance Society of the United States.
Next week, we will bring you another colorful story from the files of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Murder on the Range.
The incidents used in tonight's Equitable Life Assurance Society's broadcast are adapted from the files of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. However, all names used are fictitious, and any similarity to the names of persons living or dead is accidental. Tonight, the music was composed and conducted by Frederick Steiner. The author was Frank Ferries, and your narrator was Dean Carlton. This is your FBI. Is a Jerry Devine production. This is Milton Cross speaking for the Equitable Life Assurance Society of the United States and the Equitable Society's representative in your community, and inviting you to tune in again next week at this same time when the Equitable Life Assurance Society of the United States will bring you another colorful story from the files of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, Murder on the Range, on this is your FBI.
This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company. Ellery Queen.
in the interest of a safer American home, a happier American community, a more United States. The American Broadcasting Company and its affiliated stations bring you Ellery Queen.
I dedicate this program to the fight against crime. Not merely crimes of violence and crimes of dishonesty, but crimes of intolerance, discrimination, and bad citizenship. Crimes against America.
The American Broadcasting Company presents a new series in the career of Ellery Queen, celebrated fighter of crime. As usual, Ellery invites you to match wits with him as he relates the mystery. And before revealing the solution, he gives you a chance to solve it. Tonight, Ellery's guest armchair detective, who will represent you home armchair detectives, is the prominent radio and motion picture actor, Gerald Moore. And now, here's Ellery Queen himself, your host for the next half hour.
Thank you, Paul Masterson, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, we tell you the story of a man who was surrounded by enemies, 10,000 of them. I call it The Man in the Street.
I'm not tickling you, Marner. This is a frisk. Stand still.
I'm a little nervous, Sergeant.
He's a little nervous, Inspector.
Yeah. It's that crowd outside.
Stand still, Marner.
Why don't you chase them away? Where's my brother, Joel? Why didn't Joel come home from our office tonight?
Because he was smarter than you, Elias.
Leaving me to face this mob alone?
Fickle, ain't they? Marner, stand still.
Yes, Elias. Only a few days ago, the man in the street was calling you his benefactor. You and your brother had a great idea, Elias. Build a model town, Marner City. Cheap, good housing, co-op stores, fine schools and playgrounds for the kids, a great modern hospital. Everything shared by the community. Utopia for Joe Doakes. No wonder they were giving you and your brother testimonial dinners.
Oh, please. They'll try to break in here. There's only that window between.
Stand still, Marner.
How many people did you and Joel rope in, Elias? 10,000 from this area alone, wasn't it?
10,000 suckers. Are you going to stand still?
But Marner City turned out to be some rotten marshland in a Long Island swamp. Those 10,000 investors will never see a cent. Wiped out, Elias. Only it came out too soon, didn't it?
They're throwing rocks. They're going to break this. Oh, that one almost hit me. Inspector, you've got to get me out of here.
Through that mob, we'll wait for the reserves, Elias.
They'll tear me to pieces.
If it'll make you feel any better.
Lock the shutters. Lock them.
Okay, Inspector. His wallet, papers, jewelry, everything. Even a small change.
You better get him ready. Where's that butler? Butler?
Yes, sir?
Come in here.
Yes, sir. Inspector Queen, sir. I'm just an employee. I'm
yes,
sure you...
Yes, you've got nothing to worry about. Get Elias Marner's hat and coat.
Well, go on. Whom are you staring at?
Why, Mr. Marner, you're frightened.
Didn't you hear the inspector?
The voice of the people. How you and your brother used to laugh at them. Suckers, you call them. And now the suckers don't make you laugh anymore, Mr. Marner.
Get my hat and coat!
Mr. Marner, sir. Get your own hat and coat.
Take that, Mr. Marner, sir.
I'll get my things myself. They're just in the hall out here.
Too bad his brother smelled a rat, really, and took a powder before we could grab him.
Look at this roll I just took off Elias, Inspector.
Chicken feed. Joel's got the real poke, I'm afraid. They're really getting ugly out there. Hey, Marner, hurry up. I said, Marner, hurry up. There's the reserves. This is our chance.
Marner, where are you? Marner!
Marner! Inspector! Marner!
Not in the hall, Vili.
Hey, you, butler.
Where'd Marner go? You see him?
Why, yes, sir. He went to the rear, the kitchen.
That's fine.
Not in the kitchen.
That back door, Vili. It's open. Alley.
Runs right through to the side street, Inspector. He got away, like his brother.
Send out a general alarm. I see. Okay.
Inspector, was that...
Nothing, Feely.
But I don't understand it. Where can he be?
I don't get it myself. I frisked him dry. Elias didn't have a red cent on him when he gave us the slip, Miss Porter.
A man needs money in New York.
Especially one on the lam. Unless Inspector Elias and Joel had fixed up a meeting place beforehand, and Joel had plenty of moolah.
I don't think so. It happened too quickly.
Then maybe your friend.
They ain't got a friend in the Western Hemisphere, Miss Porter.
Well, any relatives? Blast it. Covering every car, road, bridge, tunnel, railroad station, airport. The city's sealed tight. But where is he? Ellery.
Huh?
Two cop men floating around the city with 10,000 yowling suckers after their highs, and you sit on your spine in my office reading the morning paper.
Aren't you interested, Ellery?
In saving the Marners' lives, Nicky? Oh, yes.
Well, don't sound so sincere, Maestro. They're hardly worth the effort.
No, I disagree, Sergeant. Saving their lives is one of the most important jobs you'll ever be called on to do.
Why, Maestro? Keep a couple of highbinders from getting what's coming to them so they can lay around in a cell for a few years and think up some more finagles?
Sergeant, the Marners didn't merely steal money. They stole hopes, plans, years of hard work on the part of a lot of ordinary people. They stole Johnny Doe's first payment of the house, Mabel Brown's wedding money, the operation that Bill Smith's wife may need a year from now. That's why the Marners must be kept alive, Sergeant. Kept alive to give back that house and that trousseau and that operation. Oh, by the way, Dad, seen this ad in the personals column?
What ad?
Let me see. It's addressed to Dear Dot. Dot. I suppose that's short for Dottie or Dorothy. And signed Dash.
Dot Dash, who cares? I want the Marner Brothers.
Dot Dash.
Dot Dash. Hey, that's the basis of the Morse code.
Calligraphy? So what, Maestro?
I believe the Marner Brothers used to be telegraph operators.
A code, a hidden message. Read that ad, Nicky.
Dear Dot, sorry had to run off before get-together if P.X. Jones will engage room at Haven Hotel between 2 and 4 this afternoon... We'll contact him there to arrange export details. Dash.
It's from Joel Marner to Elias.
Joel must have read in the late extras last night that Elias escaped.
Without a cent. Not knowing where Elias is hiding, Joel puts this ad in the paper.
To get Brother Rat to come to the Haven Hotel under the alias of P.X. Jones.
Where Joel will join Elias and arrange export details. For both of them.
They're going to skip the country.
I believe that's what Joel had in mind, Nicky.
All we have to do is watch the Haven Hotel. Keep an eye on Elias when he checks in as P.X. Jones this afternoon and wait for Joel to contact him. Cinch, Feely.
Maybe not, Inspector. The Haven's like Grand Central. 1,000 rooms. Crowds pouring in and out all day. Even if we spot him, Elias knows our pusses. He'd run like a rabbit. Maybe we'd lose him again. And Joel, too.
Yet I don't feel like trusting this one to the boys. Our spotter has to be somebody smart. Somebody the Marners don't know. Somebody who can keep him alive long enough for us to get him safely in a cell.
Ellery!
Hey.
What do you say, son?
I would consider it a privilege.
Hey, Foot, how much longer are you going to park in my hatch here?
My friend ought to be along any minute now, driver.
And it's your dough. Hey, what do you think of this Marner deal? Look at here. Look at them mushes in the paper, the dirty crooks.
Ellery.
No, Nicky. The Marner brothers? Oh, the cops will catch them.
Yeah, they better work fast.
Why? What do you mean, driver?
Yeah, there's an awful lot of people in this town got hooked, lady. If one of the victims spotted those crooks...
Hey,
oh.
Stupid, who
are
you bumping into?
Hey,
oh.
Get up and
meet
out of the way.
Oh, yeah. Hey,
Ellery, do you suppose that's why Elias hasn't shown up at the Haven here?
Could be. He knows he's surrounded by enemies. 10,000 of them. Might be too scared to come out of hiding.
Imagine not knowing who your enemies are. Might be a newsboy, a stenographer, even a policeman. Anybody on the street.
Wait, Nicky.
What's the matter?
That old man shuffling toward the hotel entrance.
Where?
Right there.
Bundled up to the ears. Dark glasses. Hat pulled down over his eyes.
Several days' growth of beard. Nicky. That's Elias Marner.
But he's carrying a suitcase, Ellery. He had no money.
It's an old piece of junk, Nicky. He might have picked it up. Here he comes.
Ellery. That fat woman with the shopping bag, she's going to stop him.
Keep back, Nicky. I may have to jump out.
Sorry, mister, but excuse me.
What?
Could you be telling me which way to the subway?
That way.
Wow. The second I thought that woman was going to...
There he goes. Into the Haven. Driver! Driver!
Yeah, what is it, mister?
Here you are. Keep the change. Come on, Nicky.
But you...
Can you see him, Ellery?
Calm down, Nicky.
There he goes. He's heading for the desk. Easy, Nikki.
Maybe he's not alive.
He is if he registers as PX Jones. No, stop right here, Nikki. Pretend to be looking at the magazines.
Yes, sir. I want a room, please.
Yes, sir. Single and back.
Do you have a reservation for me?
What's the name, sir?
P.X. Jones.
Ellery.
Read that magazine, Nikki.
P.X. Jones. Why, no, Mr. Jones. We have no reservation listed for you.
Oh. Well, give me a room. Any room.
Register here, please.
Yes, of course.
You know, you're lucky at that. A convention just checked
I
out.
Don't want conversation room, clerk. Where's my room?
Yes, sir. Front.
Yes, sir.
1409, boy. Here's the key.
Yes, sir. I'll take your bag, sir.
All right.
Elevator's right this way, sir.
Not yet, Nikki. All right. Now.
Fourteenth floor. Watch your step, please.
Thank you. Nikki?
Thank you. 1409, wasn't it?
Yes. Yes, to the left, I think. Oh, there, Nikki. Bellboy just came out. Wait.
Why the... Ellery, he's putting his ear to the door.
Here, you, boy. What do you think you're doing?
Huh? Oh. Hey. You see that old crumb I just brought up to 1409?
Yes.
Know who I think he is? Elias Marner.
Oh, he couldn't be.
Of course not. Press the elevator button, will you, Dad?
All right.
I tell you, he is.
I just heard that Marner was seen heading for Mexico.
Horse feathers. I tell you, that guy looks just like the newspaper photos of Elias Marner.
I wouldn't spread that story around, young fellow. You might get a harmless old man into a lot of trouble.
Yeah, but gosh, he sure looks like him.
Going down, please.
Yeah, Joe. Say, Joe, you know that old boy I just brought?
Not so good, Ellery. He'll talk.
Yes. Nikki, I'll watch 1409. You run over to that hotel across the street, the Universal. Dad and Velia are waiting in the lobby there. Tell them to join me up here right away.
So in a case like this, I always go to the manager. The top. Can you do it?
Well, Inspector, just a moment. Give me the desk. Naturally, hotels aren't crazy about this sort of thing. Hello, desk? Manager speaking. Is 1407 occupied? Then how about 1411? Hold 1411 open. All right, Inspector Queen. You can watch 1409 from 1411. It's next door.
Thanks a lot.
There wouldn't be a communicating door between them, would there? Why, yes. It used to be a two-room suite.
Couldn't be better. I want the key to 1411, Manager, and also the key to the door between the two rooms.
And keep this under your hat, please. Naturally, Mr. Queen. But tell me, is it true this man Jones in 1409 is... Elias Marner.
Huh?
Marner? One of my bellboys claims he is. Nothing so exciting.
I wish he were. Now, get me the keys, huh?
Yes, I'll be glad to get
them. You should have strangled that bellhop, Ellery. Yes. Must be all over the hotel by this time. In a half hour, it'll be all over New York.
Well, we can't take Elias away from here either. Not if we expect to nab Joel, too.
Yeah, maybe it'll work out. With Veely and the squad covering the 14th floor, you and me in 1411 listing it. Where are you going, son?
To have a little talk first with the chief operator of the hotel.
You want to be notified the second there's a phone call to or from 1409. Is that it, Mr. Queen?
That's it, operator.
We'll be in 1411.
Not you, Nikki. You'll be in...
Oh, here's 1409 now.
See what Jones wants, operator.
Yes, sir. Yes, please.
This is PX Jones in 1409. Have there been any phone calls for me, operator?
Phone messages are sent to your room box at the desk, Mr. Jones.
But I just spoke to the desk. They said there's no message in my box.
Then I'm sorry, Mr. Jones. If there'd been a call, you either have got it directly or found a message in your box.
Oh, yes. Well, ring me here in 1409 the moment I get a call. You understand?
Yes, Mr. Jones.
Operator. How late are you on duty?
Well, all the day shifts in the hotel are from noon to 8 p.m., Mr. Queen.
Then I'm leaving Miss Porter here with you.
Doing what?
Yes, Nikki. You can operate a switchboard, and this young lady can arrange to leave you in charge when she goes off duty tonight. The fewer who know about this, the better. Now, remember, operator, I'm relying on you to keep this Jones business absolutely hush-hush.
Oh, I won't tell anybody, Mr. Queen. I realize that Mr. Marner... Why, I mean, Mr. Jones mustn't know he's being watched. Pardon me. Hotel Haven, good afternoon.
Ellery, she's heard the rumor, too.
And you keep her from shooting off her mouth, Nikki. I'll be in 1411 with Dad. You haven't heard a thing through that door since he phoned room service for some food.
He just keeps walking around in there like a caged weasel, Ellery.
Yeah. What time is it, Dad?
6.
Why no word from his brother? I don't understand it, Dad.
Unless Joel's got cold feet, or some of these blamed rumors got to his ears. Ellery, take another look into the card.
Uh-huh. Not a thing. Oh, yes. Here comes a hotel waiter pushing a table.
Must be that chow Elias ordered.
A little wider, son. Okay, Dad.
Son, could that waiter be Joel Marner in disguise?
No, Dad, no. Too short.
Shh.
Yes, who is it?
The waiter.
Oh, food I ordered. Just leave it outside my door, waiter. I'll take it in myself.
I got to collect, sir.
Put it on my bill.
Well, then you got to sign for it.
Oh, yes. Oh, hang it. 1 second.
All right, waiter, quickly.
It's true what they say. You are a light to mine.
No, waiter. You're mistaken.
I'm making a mistake, and I don't know.
Out of my way.
You're making a break for him, Dad.
Can't lose him again. Billy.
Inspector. What's the matter? Hey.
Sergeant, help me.
All right, break it up. The crook.
Cut that fool waiter's tongue. Get them both at Marner's room quick.
Stop it, Marner.
In here, both of you. That's it, Maestro.
Let me go. They'll kill me.
Nobody's killing you, Marner.
Sit down.
Waiter.
Yes, sir. Please.
Where police? This is not Elias Marner. He's Santa Claus. You understand? You forget this.
Don't shoot off your mouth. Capiche?
Yes, sir.
Really pass them along to the boys. Get them home.
Come on.
Well, Marner, now that the cat's out of the bag, we may as well keep you company here till your brother shows up.
Yes. Only don't leave me. You don't know what it's been like. Man can face anything when he knows who's after him, but this, me, there are thousands after me. Don't let them get me.
Oh, then you'll play ball, Elias. You'll help us grab your brother when he contacts
you. Oh, anything, Inspector, anything. Only don't let them get me.
Oh, that's a mighty fine spirit, isn't it, Ellery?
Where's Joel? Where is Joel?
Stop it, Ellery. It makes me tired just to look at you.
What time is it now, Dad?
9:10. Wait a while longer.
You're not going to leave me.
We'll just about serve you right, Elias.
Why doesn't Joel call? Why doesn't he...
The phone in 1411.
It's Mickey from the switchboard. Mickey?
Just got a call on the board for PX Jones. Not even sure it's a man's voice. All muffled.
Uh-huh.
Ellery, what'll I do?
Tell him you're trying to reach Mr. Jones, Mickey. Meanwhile, ring operator and have her trace the call. I'll hold on here. Dad?
Joel Marner?
Think so.
My brother?
Elias, when that phone in 1409 rings, you answer and stall. Do you understand? Hold your brother on the line. Try to find out where he's calling from.
I'll do my best.
Mickey?
Yes, Ellery?
Having the call traced?
Yes.
Good. Now ring 1409.
Back in the other room, Elias.
Very well, I'll do as you say.
Now, he won't say where he is, Elias. Get him to come to the Haven.
All right.
Now, answer it.
Yes, I...
Hello?
Jones. You'll have to speak up. You'll have to speak loud. I can't hear you.
Steely, shut up. That's Joel Marner calling.
Oh, yeah? Where's he calling from? Slab 8?
What are you talking about, Sergeant?
Joel Marner's body's been fished out of the East River.
Why, are you sure?
You heard me. 3 rifle slugs in him, rubbed out. Joel's been dead at least 48 hours.
Dead 48 hours?
Yes, now.
Who put that ad in this morning's paper?
Yes.
Who's that on the phone?
PX Jones.
Dad, it's a trick. Marner, drop that phone. Get away from that window.
What, Mr. Queen, you...
Marner, rifle shot.
From a window of the hotel across the street. Billy, get over there and grab the sniper.
Right, Inspector.
Ellery, is Elias...
He's dead.
All we know is we found a smoking rifle in this room at the Universal Hotel, under an open window. Same gun that killed Joel Marner night before last. Killer got away before my boys could cross over here from the Haven. Now lay off and let us walk, will you?
Inspector, it wasn't anybody's fault.
From this 14th floor window, the killer had a perfect view of Marner's window on the 14th floor of the Haven. Across that narrow street, you could have plugged Elias with this rifle, Nicky.
Whoa, slow down, Dad. Nicky's right. No one could have foreseen this. Killer must have trailed Joe Almana two nights ago from his office, shot him, and dumped him into the river.
Then he must have gone gunning for Elias, but by that time, Elias had escaped and disappeared.
Yeah. And somehow, this killer found out, maybe from something on Joel's body, that the brothers used the code words dot and dash for secret communication.
So he got the idea of luring Elias out of hiding by placing that ad in the paper as if from Joel.
Yes, and when Elias fell for the trick and checked into the Haven, the killer simply waited for nightfall, drew Elias to the phone at his window by calling from this room at the Universal. A clever touch, that. And then when he was sure it was Elias on the phone, simply shot him from across the street and made his escape.
But who, son? No clue in this rifle? It's a hawk shop job. Killer must have brought it in dismantled in this suitcase we found here. But the suitcase is also a pickup. There's not a print in the room or a single witness who saw the killer after he checked in.
Come on, Inspector. Give us that.
Let me through.
Oh,
here.
Really?
Inspector.
Yes, really?
Here, I
find
got
out
his...
anything else?
Yeah, I got his hotel registration card, Inspector.
Now, gimme.
When did he check into the Universal, Dad?
From a stamp J down here. Same night he bumped Joel two nights ago.
As who?
J.J. Jones, Chicago, in block letters. Of course it's a phony.
But there must be a description. The bellboy who carried his bag up here.
What's on that, Billy?
Description? Sort of short, bellhop says, or maybe not so short. Age around 25 to 50. Wore dark glasses, sort of medium-colored hat and coat. Hat pulled over his eyes. Held a handkerchief over his mouth when he talked. Bellhop remembers him fine.
Well, that might be anybody, even a woman dressed up as a man.
Any one of the 10,000 victims of the Miners' con game, blasted.
What do we do now, Inspector? Start checking 10,000 alibis?
I don't think, Sergeant, that's going to be necessary.
You don't?
What other way is there?
I suppose, son, you'll pick the killer of the Miner brothers out of the whole city of New York, just like that.
It's one of the people we met in the course of the investigation.
It is? Well, how do you know?
And what people? Whom have we met?
A butler.
A taxi driver? A woman on the street?
Some hotel employees?
Room clerk, manager, waiter, telephone operator, bellboy, elevator man. Oh, come off it, Ellery.
We didn't even get their names.
We don't even know if any of them was a victim of the swindle, Maestro.
Just the same, I know exactly who murdered the Mana brothers. Ladies and gentlemen, you have the mystery. Now, suppose you home armchair detectives and our guest in the studio compare solutions. Nicky, will you do the honors?
Gladly, Ellery. Our guest tonight is Mr. Gerald Moore, the prominent wolf.
Nicky, is that nice?
No, but it's true, Ellery. Mr. Moore plays the title role of the lone wolf in the Columbia picture series of the same name.
Thanks for the explanation, Nicky. I hate to have anybody get the wrong idea.
Well... I know radio microphones are no new experience to you, Jerry. You also play the part of Bill Lance in The Adventures of Bill Lance over ABC every Sunday, don't you?
Yeah, that's right, Ellery. We do our share of tracking down criminals, too.
Good. Now, suppose you draw upon your experience as a clue chaser.
Uh-oh.
And, well, it has to be done. And expose the killer in tonight's mystery. Tell me now, who killed the Mana brothers?
Well, your solution was incomplete. You see, I'm alibying myself in advance.
Oh, I see.
But
my solution has not yet been offered. So...
No, that's what I mean. I have two favorite suspects.
Tell me quickly now.
Yeah, I have the butler and the bellhop.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Moore. You'll find out in just a moment if your solution is the correct one. Now, here is Paul Masterson.
Save wheat, save meat, save the peace. This, in simple terms, is the slogan adopted for the World Food Emergency Campaign. We little realize here in America the rather grave food crisis in the majority of countries throughout the world. A world food crisis that could easily precipitate another major conflict among nations. Because the seeds of discontent are forerunners of intolerance among nations and are greatly influenced by hunger and malnutrition. A healthy, properly educated nation breeds healthy, intelligent minds. Minds that work in unison for a better understanding of world problems and world peace. Each individual in this great country of ours is an integral part of the whole scheme of things. Your responsibility now may avert an irresponsible act in the future. Your part as an individual may seem small and inadequate compared to the greatness of the task ahead of us. But it is to you, Mr. and Mrs. America, that a world struggling in the agonies of hunger and despair looks for hope. Think over this slogan, save wheat, save meat, save the peace. And you'll begin to realize the pressing need for food conservation at home, a conservation that will help make world security a reality today.
How can you pick
Completely logical. Now, what do we know about those two hotel rooms involved? The room the killer checked into at the Universal and Elias Marner's room at the Haven. Well, we know that both rooms are on the 14th floor of their respective hotels, that their windows face each other across a narrow street. In fact, that the killer's room commands a perfect view of Elias' room, as you yourself pointed out, Dad.
Yeah?
Now, could that have been chance? Accident? No, hardly. Obviously, the ideal relation of these two hotel rooms to each other was a planned element of the killer's plot. And that tells us who the killer is.
Not me, it don't.
Well, that's Sergeant, plus one other fact. Which room was hired first, the killer's or Elias Marner's?
Killer's registration card indicated he checked into this room at the Universal two nights ago.
And we saw Elias check into the Haven this afternoon, Ellery.
So the killer's room was hired first. But if the killer checked into this room two nights before Marner checked into the one across the street, how could he know in advance that Marner was going to draw a room at the Haven on the corresponding floor? A room from which Marner would be a perfect target.
Say.
In other words, how was the killer able to control Marner's getting room 1409 in the Haven Hotel?
Maybe he reserved 1409 for Marner.
No, he didn't, Sergeant. We actually heard Elias Marner ask at the desk if a room had been reserved for him, and the clerk said no.
But if there was no reservation, it's impossible, Ellery. When a transient walks into a hotel, there's only one person controls the room he gets. The man behind the desk.
A room clerk, Maestro.
Exactly.
The room clerk!
Undoubtedly one of the 10,000 victims of the Marner swindle. And the present repository of all that stolen money. Well, it's another example of the folly of taking the law into your own hands. And it's going to land Mr. Room Clerk in the usual place. And there, ladies and gentlemen, you have the solution to our mystery. Thank you again, Mr. Gerald Moore, for occupying our guest detective's armchair this evening. And as mementos of the occasion, I have for you a copy of my latest mystery anthology, The Queen's Awards, 1947... and a subscription to Ellery Queen's Mystery Magazine.
Ellery, don't go away.
Huh? Oh, Paul, what's the matter?
I don't want to put you on the spot, fella, and maybe it's none of my business, but how long has that yum-yum girl, Nikki Porter, been your secretary?
Nikki? Oh, quite a while, Paul. Why?
Maybe it's news to you, Ellery, but I'm told your friends out there are sort of worried.
Worried about what?
About what gives with you and Nikki, son. You two don't seem to be getting anywhere.
Oh. Oh, Nikki.
Yes, Ellery.
As a special favor to Paul, Nikki, would you announce the title of next week's case?
Oh, yes. Next week, ladies and gentlemen, Ellery Queen presents the case of Nikki Porter, Bride.
This is Ellery Queen saying goodnight until next week and enlisting all Americans every night and every day in the fight against bad citizenship, bigotry, and discrimination, the crimes which are weakening America.
All names used on this program were fictitious and do not refer to real people, either living or dead. Among the members of tonight's cast were Larry Dobkin, Virginia Gregg, Alan Reed, Herb Butterfield, Ruth Parrott, Jack Lewis, Charlie Seal, Peter Leeds, Paul Fries, and Jay Novello. Music was by Rex Corey, direction by Dick Woolen. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
That does it for Case Closed this week. If you want to hear more from This Is Your FBI, Ellery Queen, or anything else Relic Radio, visit relicradio.com. You'll also find a link there to our Shoutcast stream and our donate button. If you enjoy this show, please consider a donation to help keep it all going. My thanks, as always, to those who have. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next Wednesday with another hour of Case Closed. Case Closed is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.